Welcome to the Pepper Loud Podcast.
And welcome to the Pepper Loud Podcast. Saturday, February 18th, 2017, show number 233.
Here are your hosts, Steve and Lee.
Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Lee in New York, and a boss me of Steve. Steve, long time no talk.
Who is this?
It's your boy, Lee, from the home of the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
I have a theory. Winning the World Series has turned the world upside down. They won the World Series, a week before the election?
Yeah, pretty much, yep.
And then you could argue the world has gone to hell since then.
Listen, Snowflake, the world has gotten better. We're on the path to make things great.
He inherited a mess. I haven't seen anyone eating out of a garbage can since he became president. It's just all an amazing time to be alive. So we won't be alive soon because chances are a nuke will destroy the entire world any day now. So we have that to look forward to.
Just another coastal elite chiming in.
Yeah, that's the main problem. I am a coastal elite. I'm from liberal-ass Massachusetts. Makes me sick.
Home of Senator Warren. Sad.
Pocahontas is what we call her.
Exactly. That's not derogatory. Sad.
The Women's March. Pff, what the hell is that about? I don't understand it.
Baseball in the world is off its axis right now, I guess you could say. Hang on. It can't be on its axis because the world is flat, don't you know, according to Mr. Kyrie Irving. So
yes, I like to listen to NBA players tell me about how the world is created.
So everything you thought you knew about the world and world issues has definitely been turned up on its head in 2017. But we're here to navigate those choppy waters with you as we deliver a look ahead at the 2017 Major League Baseball season, go over some of the major changes since we last talked to you guys in the fall, some of the new GMs, new managers, player movement, and I guess might as well just get it out of the way. Unfortunately, lost an ace in Yordano Ventura due to a crash in his home country of the Dominican Republic about a month or so ago. Far too young, very sad. Another death of an ace in baseball. Pretty incredible to lose two guys like him and Jose Fernandez.
And then also Andy Marte, who was kind of like the original Uber prospect. He was a Red Sox prospect, correct? He was traded for Victor Martinez.
Correct.
Yeah, he was like the first. This was before I ever read Keith Law blogs and things like that, but. He was a guy who's constantly was brought up as a super prospect. So very sad, sad time, basically.
I was not Victor Martinez. It was actually traded. Let's see here. Coco Crisp, I believe.
Oh, so he.
Yeah.
So that's who they traded him for?
Yeah, Coco Crisp. Yeah, he was Boston's only trade piece for a long time. So that's probably why you heard about it. Traded by the Atlanta Braves. Oh, wait, am I looking at the wrong Andy Marte?
No, I think he was a Brave.
Yeah. Traded by the Atlanta Braves to the Boston Red Sox for Edgar Renteria and cash in 2005. Yes.
Edgar Renteria was on the Braves?
Yes.
What? Remember when Renteria was only on the Red Sox for 25 minutes? Yeah. Couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle the pressure. Talk about a snowflake. Edgar Renteria.
Unfortunately, starting the podcast off on a bad note, but a lot to look forward to as we look ahead. I mean, definitely be safe out there, everybody, over the holiday weekend. So let's talk about some of the movement from...
Do you get Monday off?
I do get Monday off.
You cut out. I'm sorry. What? Do you get Monday off?
I do get Monday off.
I didn't know President's Day was the big national holiday.
I think...
I just thought you buy cars during that time.
That's true. It's for us, again, us snowflakes on the East Coast, I think it's a big skiing holiday traditionally, right? It's a nice time to go.
Oh, yes. Me and the lads are going up to the mountains.
Yes, going up to Okemo.
I'm going to Mar-a-Lago. That's where I'm going. I want to see democracy in action.
Hey, for $200,000, you too can be influencing policy decisions.
I can take a picture of the guy that has the nuke codes. And I can be there for major policy things, like when North Korea launches a ballistic missile.
Dinner and a show.
Dinner and a show. That's the best way to think about it.
Oh, boy. Well, speaking of craziness, let's start with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Another speaking of crazy humans in general, Arizona.
Yes, the capital of crazies, and then also the front office, I guess kind of a microcosm for Arizonians.
Not no more. Snowflake's got the best of them.
Exactly. Tony La Russa is still in charge as the president, his exact title, yeah. But Dave Stewart out as the GM, Mike Hazen in. Interesting news here. I mean, overall, I would say it kind of came out that Dave Stewart was...
an idiot.
He was an idiot, but he was kind of throwing people under the bus, too, on his way out. But overall,
he said that
Mike Hazen's a good guy.
Past week, he said in his heart he knew he shouldn't trade Dansby Swanson for Shelby Miller.
Yep.
Hindsight's 20/20, Dave.
Do you think that was his deal, though, or was that Tony La Russa?
So Tony, was he with the Cardinals when Shelby Miller came up? Was he still there? When did La Russa leave the Cardinals?
God, so at least 4 years ago, right?
So did he win a championship in 11, or was Matheny the manager then?
No, he was the manager then, right?
He was?
Yeah.
So Shelby Miller was definitely in the organization then.
Yeah. Matheny has not won a World Series. He blew the World Series to the Red Sox. Yeah.
Dude, the Sox got the best of Matheny. Can't handle the pressure at Fenway Park. But then, it wouldn't surprise me.
Just like the sheriff, Tony La Russa went out on top in 2011.
Yes. But it makes sense then that if Miller was in the organization then, that if he would be pushing. Because mm-hmm. You could argue that he probably knew Shelby Miller better than most.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the same time, if you're Dave Stewart and you're a GM, don't you at least go like, well, you know, we just drafted this guy first overall, like a year ago. Like, you'd be like, can't we find someone else to trade for him?
Shelby Miller, definitely a tough 2016 for him, finishing with a 6.15 ERA. And Dansby Swanson, meanwhile, looking like him he's probably going to be a front runner for the National League Rookie of the Year.
Which is bullshit because he has one at bat left of eligibility.
Yeah.
One. Yeah. One. Like, I thought Benintendi was back because he had like 25.
Yep.
Because, like, Keith Law released his top 100 prospects, and Benintendi and Swanson are first and second. It's just like, well, there's got to be prospects by, like, the third game of the regular season.
Yeah, that was kind of a staggering stat. Yeah, I thought Benintendi, you're right, has exactly 25, so it's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. And Swanson has one.
Yeah.
A single plate appearance. Number two prospect in baseball.
So, I mean, if you're on the plus side for Arizona fans out there, if they're listening to this podcast, highly doubtful, but...
Do you exist?
But... Shelby Miller,
Jay Bell's listening.
Only 26 years old, so even though you're maybe losing a middle of the lineup top or middle of the diamond top prospect in Swanson, you know, maybe Shelby Miller can put together.
Who wouldn't want a lineup revolving around Swanson and Paul Goldschmidt? I mean, I know I wouldn't. I'd much rather have a decent number three.
This could be one of the all time trades when it's all said and done, but. Still too early to finish those chapters of the book for Shelby Miller here. 26.
Speaking of prospect trades, then. Mm-hmm. So the top. I want your opinion on this. This is kind of jumping around, but when I look at Keith Law's like top five, number four was Gleyber Torres, shortstop for the Yankees. If they got him and the Yankees got him for a rental reliever who they end up re-signing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Cubs fan and Torres becomes like a superstar, which is what a lot of people are believing now, are you allowed to bitch about that even though you won the World Series? Are you allowed to be like, oh my God, how do we trade Torres for a half a season of a reliever? Even though they won the World Series, are you ever allowed to bitch about that?
No, I think if you win the World Series, I think...
Especially if you're the Chicago Cubs and win the World Series. If the first time, and you know you're gonna, if Torres becomes like a stud, you know people are going to be bitching and be like, I can't believe Theo Epstein did that.
Yeah. I think for both guys that Yankees got in return. I don't think the Indians fans can be mad too if Frazier, right? That's the kid's name, Clint Frazier.
Frazier and Justice Sheffield.
You know, if either one of those becomes a star, because Andrew Miller puts you guys one game away from, you know, with three games to win it away from.
Andrew Miller was basically the best player in the history of postseason play.
Yeah.
Last year.
So it's tough to. It's one of those rare circumstances where it kind of ended up working out for both teams. But yeah, I mean, who knows where we're going to be 10, 20 years from now if Torres is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer or not.
Mm-hmm. For 2 months of Aroldis Chapman, who almost single-handedly lost the World Series for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to see the Yankees basically just abuse the system to get everyone back, it's good for them. But anyway, that was my question. Like, are Cubs fans ever allowed to complain about that?
I don't think so, especially if you look at Theo's background too, and the fact
track
that,
record,
yeah,
I mean, and the fact that where the hell would Torres even play?
Yeah, and a year,
but then you could argue they could trade him for another, like a starting pitcher at least.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't as highly rated when they made that trade. He just went nuts during the Arizona Fall League, so who knows?
And who knows what happens next with the Cubs too? Say when the time comes to re-up with a lot of their young guys, they end up flipping. Yeah, I doubt it's going to be Chris Bryant, but said they trade Chris Bryant for an incredible package that has like a 16-year-old prospect in there that becomes big someday. It's like, you know, there are a lot of steps that even though it's
Chris
not,
Bryant's never getting traded. By
exactly. Well, but the point is, like, you know, there's
just, Addison Russell, maybe. Wasn't it Chris
just
Bryant?
Just because there may be no direct link to Gleyber Torres in the future, you know, Theo's job was to win this year, and he knew he still has assets to replenish the system down the line. That's mm-hmm. kind of my point. So even though it's not directly tied, you know, you got to look at his track record, and he's got a game plan. He's got a roadmap of what he wants to do.
And Theo, we trust.
Exactly. So speaking of, Mike Hazen, who is the current GM of the Diamondbacks, is out from the Boston Red Sox organization.
The ultimate puppet GM for the Boston Red Sox.
Because correct me if I'm wrong right now, Steve, I believe there's no GM of the Boston Red Sox.
I was just about to ask, I honestly had no idea Mike Hazen was the GM of the Red Sox last year.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think it matters who fills that role because, like you said, he's going to be a puppet. But, I mean, thoughts on, let's, I guess, continue with this theme here. With the Red Sox offseason, did they trade too much for the short term and will it hurt them in the long term?
So, the big story was obviously Chris Sale, where they gave up Yon Mankata and Michael Kopech,
mm-hmm.
Who I think Kopech is actually the more highly rated pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
I do that trade every single day if I'm the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox now have Chris Sale and David Price as their 1 and 2. It's ridiculous. Even though I think you couldn't have picked two worse head cases for Boston, I think you can argue. But that's besides the point. From a pure pitching standpoint, this is your window now.
Mm-hmm.
Dombrowski is pretty good at doing win-now type trades. Now, do I agree with like his
Craig
Kimbrell and Drew Pomeranz trades? Like, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you look at, like, just looking back at Keith Law's top 100. Like, Anderson Espinosa, Manuel Margot, like, those are two highly rated guys, and they're now in the Padres organization for two pretty mediocre. Like, Kimbrell's good, but like closers in general are so volatile, and he's really fallen off compared to like how he was in Atlanta.
Yep.
So, and Pomeranz, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking with that one, especially when it came out that his elbow was all messed up.
Yep.
But I think the Chris Sale trade, you like Mankata is fine. He was really, really bad in his September cameo.
Mm-hmm.
And Kopech is cool that he throws 105, but like, you know, has he pitched above like high A? Like these are if I'm the White Sox, it's a trade I do all the time.
Yeah.
And the White Sox talk about a team that revamped their freaking system, but I understand why the Red Sox did this trade.
Yeah, it's a very lukewarm take by me, but I actually think it was a trade that probably worked out. Speaking of the Sale trade for both teams,
mm-hmm. I think the White Sox could not have done. Like, I was actually shocked when the Red Sox came in, and like I was like, oh man, I can't believe they lost that on getting like Giolito,
mm-hmm.
and they got Giolito anyway. Yeah. So good for them.
Yeah.
Like, and the White Sox, if their top three pitching prospects are Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez, and Kopech. Like, you're in pretty damn good shape. So, like, chances are one of those guys at least is going to work out. So, and Moncada seems like a pretty sure thing.
I'd have to look, but off the top of my head, I can't imagine that the White Sox payroll's got a lot of liabilities on it, too, in the future. So, again, not that too many free agents end up on the market nowadays, but it's nice to have that flexibility.
No, and you got to figure that they're still probably going to deal Robertson, Todd Frazier, and then probably Jose Abreu. So, at this point now, there's no point in keeping any of those guys. No. But I just don't know who's going to pay big for any of those players.
Yeah, no, agreed. So, overall, I mean, the Red Sox offseason, we'll get into it a little bit more here. But
So, definitely. I think the Red Sox, they're probably the they're definitely the team to beat in the AL East. I still think the Indians, with getting Encarnacion, is probably, they probably trump them a bit, especially because they get Salazar and Carrasco back. But I think those are the two teams to beat, obviously. And I think the sale trade, like, I could see it going two ways. I could see it being like a super ace, but or at least I see also see like this season him being like a total head case and not adapting well, because he was he pitched in a huge market before, but he was the second team. Like, no one gives a shit about the White Sox, so I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of crashed and burned.
Yeah,
especially considering day one, his very first press conference, Boston media was asking about the jersey situation.
Chris Sale about to be 28 in a few more weeks.
And he's so cheap.
Last couple years has pitched over 200 innings.
As a Red Sox fan, though, are you nervous about the windup? The delivery in general?
So, I mean, even, you know, back when he first came up onto the scene, people, you know, it's kind of a staggering windup to see. But he's been pretty durable. 2014, he missed a stretch of games. But outside of that, he's had 30 starts pretty much for the last 5 years.
I think you look at his mechanics, he's never really been injured, and then you look at like Matt Harvey, who has like perfect mechanics, and his arms are like super fucked up. Yep. So, and pitching's just, no one knows what good mechanics are. No one has any idea.
Yeah, so overall, that doesn't concern me. What does concern me is his strikeout rate took a pretty big hit this past year, down to 9.
He said he was pitching to contact, though, to stay in games longer, which is, I think, a cop-out.
He did set a record for him of innings pitched to 226. I did see him say he would like to also throw around that in terms of innings pitched again this year. But, I mean, you know, whether or not you believe him or not, last year his fastball average velocity was 92.8 miles per hour. The previous few years, 94.5, 93.8, 93.1.
Ask CC Sabathia if that's a red flag.
So, well, you know, if you believe that he's pitching to contact, it's not as big of a drop as you would think. That 2015 is kind of an outlier at 94.5, but you know, his first couple of years he was throwing 95, 96 for his average, but that was when he was out of the bullpen. So I think as long as we don't see a huge drop off, I think him and David Price have, maybe to their credit, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, have kind of smartly figured out, hey, you know, I'm pushing the wrong side of 30 soon. I need to adjust how I pitch a little bit. And, you know, David Price had a really good year last year, as much as people want to shit on him, me included. So
he was really, really good in the playoffs, too.
So for the 220 innings of David Price pitch and the 220 innings of Chris Sale pitch last year, which, you know, are not the end-all be-all, but are obviously the big bulk of baseball, they were both, you know, top-notch pitchers. A lead pitcher. So if that's the adjustment they want to make, I'm on board with that, but we'll see how it goes with the head case situation. Definitely.
It was a trade that had to be, that they had to do. There's no better pitcher on the market than Chris Sale. So,
yep.
Like, I don't, like, who else is even remotely available? Like, of that, like, Sonny Gray is probably the next best available pitcher.
And I wouldn't feel great about giving up Moncada.
Fuck no. For me neither.
Yeah. So, anyway, definitely more to be said about the Red Sox as we get into the season. The other GM the other GM move here was the Twins hiring a permanent GM in Thad Levine.
Thad, what do you think of the name Thad?
How many Thads do you know in your life?
Thad Mata.
Thad Mata, yeah.
Thaddeus Young.
Let's see here.
Is Thad short for Thaddeus? Like, even it's like, is it Thaddeus Mata?
I don't know. Thaddeus would probably be the full name.
Like, who looks at the baby and goes, like, I'm going to name you Thad.
I got an interesting piece of info for you about Mr. Thad Levine here, Steve.
What?
He played college baseball at a little D3 school in the suburbs of Philadelphia called Haverford College.
Oh, I've been there, as have you.
Yes, a few times.
They don't have RAs. They have an honor code, which is the biggest load of bullshit in history.
So Minnesota Twins organization expect an honor code to be implemented by Mr. Pat Levine.
No more managers or coaches. You're on your own.
No classes. No systems in there. Just it's a social.
Talk about Snowflake University having for college. Jesus.
So those are some of the changes. Some real fast here. Some manager changes. Tori Luvolo, former
what? Luvolo.
A beloved Red Sox coach for the last few years has been hired by the Diamondbacks. Comes over with Mike Hazen.
A lot of Diamondbacks chatter this podcast.
Yep, Freddie Gonzalez out from the Atlanta Braves.
Shocking.
And Brian Snitker is in.
Who?
The White Sox. Robin Ventura said, "Enough is enough. I'm done." And Rick Renteria is in. And
then, the best Ventura story is that he was just chilling out in his house one day, and they called him and said, "You want to be manager?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure."
He lasted 5 years there.
I can't believe he was there that long.
I know. And then from the Colorado Rockies, another guy who, kind of shocking how fast he got a manager job. And Walt Weiss is out, and Bud Black is now in.
I do like that. I'm a big Bud Black guy.
Big Bud Black guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess some other big moves in the offseason. Maybe we should get into your team here, Steve, the Yankees. I mean, overall, correct me if I'm wrong here, I wouldn't say too much on the movement front for them, but more or less, they've got this nice game plan, it seems, of producing homegrown guys, or at least guys through their farm and through via trades. What have you seen? Do you like the direction? Any moves to be made that you would like to see them make?
I have never been more excited for a Yankees team as I am this year. Gary Sanchez was basically like Barry Bonds in his prime when he came up. I don't really count on that continuing, especially like a wear and tear of a full season catcher. I can't complain with how they conducted business. I didn't like the Aroldis Chapman signing. I think 5 years and $86 million for a closer for a team that's probably going to win like 80 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really make sense. And by the time they, like, all these prospects are ready to play, like Chapman has an opt out. I did not really understand why they insisted on bringing him back.
Really,
I think, let
me start with that. I liked
that. That was a Hal Steinbrenner signing.
I liked the move. I mean, you know, put his personal issues aside.
Oh, he's an awesome closer. But what the fuck does this team need an awesome closer for?
How many games did they win last year, though? They won 80 something, right?
Yeah.
So you could see them, you know, if things fall the right way.
Do you see Gary Sanchez hitting 50 home runs this year?
No.
He was on pace to hit like 80 last year.
Look, I give him...
Greg Bird has a fucked up shoulder, so who knows what to expect from him. They signed Chris Carter as freaking insurance.
I give them a decent shot of being in playoff contention come August. And
who's going to pitch? Who's their starting pitching?
It's problematic.
It's not great. It's not, in the words of Joe Girardi, it's not what you want.
Why didn't they give Eovaldi a 1 year deal or something?
Because he has Tommy John surgery.
Oh, okay.
So he had 1 year left, so they released him. So because it didn't make sense to pay $7 million for a guy who can just walk at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they tried to bring him back, but the Rays came in and gave him like cucked a guaranteed him. Second year. They cucked him good. I'm not going to miss Eovaldi. That dude was an enigma. I don't get it.
That seems like
they have Tanaka. That seems like a legit ace.
Yeah, so why did they not sign anyone to like a one-year prove-it deal for pitching?
Like, who would they bring on?
Bartolo?
Been there, done that. I'm okay with that. I've seen that movie before. But they have Tanaka, Pineda, Sabathia. Those are like the guaranteed top three. Mm-hmm. Severino, don't really know what to expect from him.
Mm-hmm.
Luis Sessa, Chad Green, Brian Mitchell, and then the wild card. This is a hot take for you. James Kaprielian, the best Armenian in baseball. He's their top pitching prospect, and I think he makes the jump this year. He's glowing reviews. He was out for most of the season last year with an elbow injury, and he still is like he was a top 20 rated prospect.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty excited for him. I think you have Justice Sheffield also in the wings, who's going to start off the year in Double A. Out of all the prospect acquisitions, the one I'm most excited about is Justice Sheffield, just because I think lefties who are very good mm-hmm. are pretty valuable, especially in Yankee Stadium. So I think a lot of it depends on how Severino pitches. The big elephant in the room is Masahiro Tanaka's opt-out clause at the end of the season. And what do you do if you're out of contention? Do you try to deal Tanaka? Which I would try to do.
It makes a lot of sense. And it would.
And you could, if you look at what the Red Sox got for sale, obviously you wouldn't get, or what the White Sox got for sale, you wouldn't get like quite that much, especially with the opt-out looming, but if Roldis Chapman can get you the number 4 rated prospect in baseball, like what the hell does a legit ace get you?
I think, you know, trying to trade in season has been proven.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's been proven to be a good way to get assets. The Yankees have by far kind of capitalized best on those in-season trades, but it's been with relievers. So I don't know. I mean, you know, with anything in baseball, I feel like there's a move after, the whole Moneyball efficiency thing. I mean, I feel like that's been a super inefficient way to get talent. You have to give up so many prospects. So maybe there's a shift and teams kind of smarten up and take a harder stance. But
we'll see. Brian Cashman, for the first time in his career, got the okay to trade, and he could not have done better. Yeah. So I think this is also Cashman's chance to prove, like, hey, like, I'm actually a good GM. Because I think he's the most underrated executive in baseball.
Gold star for him, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll see about Clint Frazier. I'm not 100% sold on him, but Sheffield I'm cool with.
Yeah. Let's see here. Looking at the MLB futures, Steve, maybe that's a way we can talk about some of these other clubs here. Your reigning World Series champion, Chicago Cubs, are the odds-on favorite at 4.25 to 1 to win the World Series. Close.
I'll agree with that.
It's hard to, with Schwarber.
You talk about, like, you're like, oh, their farm system's, like, pretty depleted now. But, like, yeah, all their stars are, like, 23, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, Schwarber, Rizzo, Bryant.
Addison Russell, Javier Baez.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment of riches, for sure.
Theo Epstein's pretty goddamn good at his job.
Jake Arrieta is pitching for a contract this year, right?
Oh, fuck that guy. So he might as well just show up to the mound wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
Your next favorites here, the Cleveland Indians and Boston Red Sox, are 6-1.
I think the Indians are my pick to win it all. I think this is like the Royals after they lost to the Giants. They're going to be on a mission this year. They've reloaded. They're so damn good.
You think Encarnacion kind of picks off where he's left off the last few years?
Yeah, and he's replacing Mike Napoli.
Yep, so it's an upgrade.
Like, that's a huge upgrade. Michael Brantley, remember him?
Yep.
He's coming back. And then Carrasco and Salazar, that's what did, if, I'm very positive. If Carrasco and Salazar were healthy, like, you wouldn't have Josh Tomlin and Trevor freaking Bauer pitching in the World Series.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge difference maker.
Yeah.
So, I think, and they have a full season of Andrew Miller. They're... Theo and Terry Francona, I think, has proven to be probably the best manager in baseball.
It is. The pitching staff is an embarrassment of riches from an American League standpoint for the Cleveland Indians.
You like that phrase?
It is. It has to be said about that pitching staff. The Cubs lineup, and then the Indians starting rotation when things are going right.
And bullpen. Healthy.
And bullpen. Yeah, I mean, just the pitching in general, I guess, for Cleveland.
Staff.
If I'm Francona, I don't even pitch Andrew Miller for the first month of the year. I'm just like...
That was the big thing, because in Game 7, he was toast.
Yeah.
I think you could say that about Chapman, too. I think he was toast also. He was throwing, like, upper 90s, though, but usually when you're used to 105...
Yeah, it was kind of unfair for both those guys when they got tagged. I think you can't blame Miller, and then likewise, if the Cubs had lost, you really couldn't blame Chapman because they...
Well, even Chapman in his press conference when he signed back on with the Yankees, he was just like, I didn't really agree with how I was being used.
But at the same time, if you're looking back on it, I kind of see what Madden did.
Yeah, run him into the ground. They weren't planning on bringing him back.
Yeah.
Plus, they got Wade Davis for Jorge Soler, so...
Yep. It was a good trade, for sure. Theo working his magic again.
Solar was such a disappointment.
Yeah. I mean, it was.
I don't really understand what the Royals are doing either.
It was weird how 3 years ago, those Cuban guys were all incredible.
Abreu, Puig.
Soler, Abreu. And then immediately, the sophomore slump is an understatement for all those guys.
Puig was the most exciting player on planet Earth.
Yep.
And now he's like the fifth outfielder for the Dodgers. And literally everyone hates him.
Well, speaking of the Dodgers, or the next team here on this list, again, Red Sox, Indians, plus 600. Dodgers, Astros are both 9-1 to win the World
Series. Don't agree with either of those, because the Astros have Beltran and Brian McCann now.
Do you think the Astros can rekindle some of that magic from a couple years ago?
So, here, like, they still have Springer and Correa.
Mm-hmm.
They still have, like, Keuchel was pretty bad last year.
Yep.
Carlos Beltran's freaking old. Like, that, like, he was really good with the Yankees for the past, like, year and a half. But did he even do much with the Rangers?
No, he wasn't that great. If you ask a casual fan, like Carlos Beltran still playing, and Bartolo Colon, they must be, like, their minds would be blown if you told them.
Yeah.
That.
And then, like, Brian McCann is fine.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he's, like, the kind of guy I don't think he's, like, a difference maker. If he was a difference maker, the Yankees wouldn't have traded him. I mean, it didn't help that McCann was replaced by Babe Ruth, but, like, I don't really, those two players, as someone who watched them for a very long time, I don't really buy into them. Like, McCann's fine, especially because they have, who was their catcher, Jason Castro?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an upgrade over that, but it all depends on Keuchel. I don't really the thing that they really botched was that Ken Giles trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, wouldn't you rather have Vince Velasquez?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really, like, Colin McHugh's okay. The Astros they're just okay. Correa, I think, is overrated also. Like, I wouldn't put Correa in, like, the Lindor, Corey Seager level shortstop. I put him one tier below that.
So the Astros last year, too, I think guys like Tony Sipp.
Oh, I forgot about Altuve. I love Altuve.
Yeah. You look at that bullpen and the pitching staff from like 14 and 15, like you mentioned Keuchel, but even guys like Tony Sipp last year had a FIP of 6.19 and an ERA of 4.95.
Yeah, he was like their best reliever. So, like, Ken Giles sucked last year.
Yeah, and you talk about Giles.
And they gave up too. So much for him.
Yep.
That's what set the market for the Yankees to, you know, abuse the system.
Yeah, so a lot of things went wrong besides the injuries to some of their stars. Yeah, I mean, the pitching all around was not good for them. So I see why they're 9-1 because there's still a lot of talent there. But
so they have the same odds as the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Dodgers.
I don't agree with that. Yeah, I don't think the Dodgers are that good either, though. Like, I'm so sick. The Dodgers are the Buffalo Bills of the National League. I'm so sick of watching them losing the NLCS.
poor Dodger fans out there. I mean, obviously Kershaw's health is first and foremost, and he looked good in the playoffs, bouncing back after an injury. So,
and Rich Hill's one giant blister. So
Rich Hill, do you think Rich Hill's a guy who just, like, you know, lefty figured it out and can actually deliver on that contract now?
He pitches like 100 innings a year.
Yep.
I actually did want him for the Yankees because he didn't have like a draft pick attached to him, but like, I would not depend on him to be, like, a difference maker.
Yep.
What did the Dodgers give up to get him from Oakland? Do we know? Anything of value?
Let me take a look here.
I know, I could have looked this up also, but you're better at the internet than me.
No, all good. In addition to Rich Hill here, let's see. Rich Hill, great podcasting here by us, was traded along with Josh Reddick, who sat on the bench for them a lot until Puig,
mm-hmm.
For a bunch of minor leaguers here. Grant Holmes, Jarrell Cotton, and Frankie Montas. I think Frankie Montas was the big name.
That's the big one?
Yeah, I think he was a big star.
The Dodgers, like, they got Logan Forsyth,
mm-hmm.
but they also traded away, like, De Leon,
mm-hmm.
who's one of their better pitching prospects. He kind of sucked in his cameo, though, this past year. But
the team's pretty much the same.
I like Urias. I like to see him in a full year.
Mm-hmm.
Kershaw's Kershaw. The biggest mistake they made was letting Greinke walk.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you're the Dodgers with more money than God, and this is your window. Like, and can Seager repeat what I think Seager's a pretty safe bet to repeat what he did last year. But is Carl Crawford still in the books?
It's a good question. I don't know. But
Andre Ethier, is he still in the books?
A little Diamondbacks talk again, though. I mean, if you're the Diamondbacks and you can eat some of that money and get maybe a couple prospects back. Do you flip them to the Dodgers? Because I think there were talks about that last year.
I think there were also. I think at this point, no. You can't do that, like especially interdivision.
Mm-hmm.
You got to deal with it. I think the Dodgers fucked up, but like, I'm so sick of everyone being like, "Oh, Andrew Friedman, he's a genius." Like, he still manages, like he still runs, like he or acts like he's running the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, you have a ton of money.
Yep.
Like, that's the big advantage of being like the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Cubs. Like, flex your muscle.
Yep. We talked about this a lot last year. It's, you know, been talked about in baseball circles, but the game's becoming more like the NBA, and that very few assets are available in the free agent market. So mm-hmm. you got to keep your assets because the Red Sox kind of were a big inventor of the game of we'll eat money and we'll, you know, we just want the asset. We want Edgar Renteria. We want, Julio Lugo. We'll mm-hmm. eat the money and we'll trade it. And Carl Crawford's kind of the best example of that. So, you know, with Greinke, they should have just kept him and then, you know, say whatever, 3 years from now, they need to trade him. They eat the money. They're the Dodgers. You just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, overall, 9-1 seems a little too optimistic for me since they're basically returning their entire team from last year.
Like, wouldn't you take the Mets or the Giants ahead of them?
Yeah, I think I would try to take a longer shot. And speaking of the Mets are 12-1. I think a lot for them relies on that rotation staying healthy.
Yeah, what's the deal with like Matt Harvey or like Jacob DeGrom?
I think they're all ready to go. Steven Matz as well. They're all in camp throwing.
How's Zach Wheeler doing?
So we'll see about that. The Giants are 12-1 as well. The other team you mentioned there, and the Nationals are 12-1 as well. I feel like
the Nats are super. They're definitely too low.
Yeah, I would say of these 12-1, 9-1 teams, I wouldn't feel great about it. But you know, at 12-1, I think you're getting some good value there.
Yeah, if I could put any money on anything, I'd put money on a Bryce Harper bounce back year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pure insanity that the Nationals haven't signed Matt Wieters.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Matt Wieters is unemployed right now blows my freaking mind. Like, if I'm the Astros, would you rather trade? Like, so the Astros traded one of their better prospects, Albert Abreu, to the Yankees for Brian McCann. Wouldn't you just rather have Matt Wieters on like a 1 year, $4 million deal?
Yeah, it's supposedly he doesn't want to accept a 1 year prove it deal.
Well, spring training just started, Matt. So suck it up. At this point, if I'm the Yankees, I'd be like, hey, Matt, why don't you be Gary's backup?
If I'm the Red Sox, I do it.
Yeah, Sandy Leon or whatever his name is. You think that's going to happen twice? Christian Vasquez and what the fuck's the other guy? Blake Swihart?
Yeah, Swihart supposedly has the yips as well. So.
Yeah, that's what you want in a catcher, the yips.
Again, if you're going to trade the entire system, Dave Dombrowski, you know, we're obviously in a win now, narrow window of opportunity time
frame. Ah, you're going with the Wii.
Yeah.
You're going with the Wii.
I'm Bill Simmons. We're going to win. I talked to Danny and Wick. We're going to win. Anyway, yeah, I think a guy like Wieters, I mean, he's ultimately going to have to take that 1 year deal. I don't know who's going to give him multiple years.
The Nationals. The Nationals, if they don't, it makes no goddamn sense. They gutted their system for freaking Adam Eaton.
Yep.
Which I don't agree with that trade even a little bit, but bizarre. What can you do?
I mean, great.
But this is their window now.
Yeah.
You still have Scherzer in Strasburg. You still have Bryce Harper. You still have Rendon.
Mm-hmm.
And the clock's ticking. I don't think Bryce Harper is going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
I think when he's a Yankee, I'm just going to lose it.
Bryce Harper, so good. Recently married in the offseason.
Yeah, what are you doing, Bryce? You're way too young. I know he's Mormon, so.
Maybe he's a little more
fit. There's only so many times you can soak. You have to just go for the full-on thrust. So you can only do that through marriage.
Maybe he's a little bit more rested and refreshed now, focused on a great 2017 baseball season. So yeah, 12-1 Nationals look good. Real fast, though, Matt
Wieters. Remember when Bryce Harper hit 330 and with like 40 home runs when he was 22?
I do.
Yeah, people are like, oh, he sucks.
Real fast with Matt Wieters. Wieters has only made $38 million in his career.
That's it?
He's 30 years old, and he's a catcher who's coming off of Tommy John surgery.
2 years ago.
So 2 years ago. So, I mean, maybe in his eyes, he's like, if I take this 1 year prove it offer and I don't prove it, I'm never getting that money. Probably.
Here's my counterpoint. Look at catching around baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It is garbage.
Yeah,
garbage. Like who's the best catcher in baseball? Posey.
Yeah, and at this point, I mean, he's 50-50 of first base and catcher. Yeah.
So like Posey, Salvador Perez, Gary Sanchez, Yadi Molina. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, what's so bad about Matt Wieters? Like, and Matt Wieters, I think if he plays, I just don't understand. I don't even understand why Baltimore let him go. Baltimore made the freaking playoffs last year. Like, you'd rather have Corbin Joseph.
Is that
who it is? Yeah, no, Corbin Joseph?
Yeah, can't wait. Caleb Joseph?
Caleb Joseph. Who's Corbin Joseph?
I think there's a Corbin out there, probably.
I think there is.
If you're the Orioles, it probably makes sense for them to reunite.
But they're notoriously cheap, so who knows?
Exactly.
But it's just, like, Wieters. Like, even if you bet on yourself and you fail, you're still probably going to get, if you prove that you're healthy, you're going to get a good offer.
The Orioles are 40-1 to win the World Series.
That seems kind of. Well, I mean, who the fuck do they have pitching for them?
Yeah. The Royals are 60-1.
Wow.
That seems a little high.
You think they should be worse?
I think they should be more like 25 or 33-1.
So, obviously, Ventura's gone.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Wade Davis got traded. This is like the last year for, like, Lorenzo Cain, Hosmer, and Moustakas will become free agents, right?
Yep.
That's crazy, man. They really should have staggered those a little bit. You have to feel that at the deadline, they might be the most intriguing team. And if you want to see, like, if there's any team that's going to be able to reload their system quickly, it might be them.
Yeah.
I don't really understand how the Yankees got so much for their two relievers and all the Royals got for Wade Davis was Jorge Soler. I don't really understand. Like, I mean, it's because the Yankees took advantage of two desperate teams.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, how do you only get Soler for Wade Davis?
No, they messed up there. They should have, I mean, Soler can still be a good player. Who knows? But I would have rather have had those prospects that the Yankees got.
Yeah, it is, especially if you're a team like the Royals. Like, because Soler is not cheap either.
Because
he was a free agent, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Yankees went from a middle-of-the-road farm system to one of the elite ones in two trades.
Great move by them.
Yeah, it's like, why?
You have a great farm system.
No, but I just don't understand how the Royals got so little.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Wade Davis is I don't know if he's as good as Miller or Chapman, but he's not. He's better than, like, Kimbrel, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Kimbrel got a huge package, too, so. Ken Giles got a freaking huge package. I don't get it. How do you only get one player who's mediocre?
That's a bad trade.
It's a bad trade. Just giving the Cubs the freaking title.
Theo Epstein, man. Theo Epstein.
Well, Theo Epstein was also the one that traded a top prospect for a rental reliever, so.
But they won a World Series and flags fly. But they won the World Series.
That's true.
Seattle Mariners, pretty highly regarded here. The 86 wins. Scott Service led Seattle Mariners are 22-1. Cardinals are 25-1.
How are the Mariners that high?
I mean, they won 86 games last year.
So, do you think Cano repeats what he did? Cano's 34 now. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, actually, Cano, I had him on the
show. Cano was awesome last year.
He was. I don't see why he wouldn't do what
still
he did.
Like 7 years left on that deal, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be so ugly by the end. Nelson Cruz still there.
Yep. So they,
Kyle Seager, the lesser of the Seagers.
Yep.
Who I think is a fine player, but other than that, eh.
So they,
Felix is getting older.
Yep.
They got Gene Segura to play shortstop now.
So they pretty much returned everybody.
Not Taijuan Walker.
It's correct. So they,
I don't agree with that trade either. I think that was garbage.
I
would have much rather had Walker than. Yeah, Segura sucks.
Yeah.
Why would you want a shortstop with like a 290 OBP?
Yeah.
For a, like a legit like number two pitcher.
I would rather have the power arm who's only 24 years old.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. I'd rather have like Didi Gregorius over like Segura.
Yeah. You know what's pretty interesting about this team? Is their bench staff. I like it. It's Mel Stottlemyre Jr.
I didn't know there was a junior. I knew there was Todd Stottlemyre.
Yeah. Who else we got? We got Tim Bogaert, the former Red Sox guy.
Oh.
We got Mike Hampton.
He loves the school systems in Denver.
So I love it. Love this team here. Who else?
All in on the Mariners of all teams.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Felix Hernandez, 7,000 years old.
Scott Brosius.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Edgar Martinez is the hitting coach. Let's see. Manny Acto's the third base coach.
Never trust a really good hitter to be your hitting coach, though.
Yeah.
So hitter like me. Why aren't you playing like I am?
So I love this team. I like this team a lot. Love Seattle. So those are some of your kind of your mid odds. I mean, don't really need to take you through any other team here. I mean, super. In case you're wondering, though, the Reds are 300-1. The Brewers are 250-1.
Now, speaking of the Reds, could they have done any worse in panicking during that Aroldis Chapman situation? Like, do they look at Gleyber Torres and go like, "God, we suck"?
They're not going to be good for a decade.
Is it fair to say that trade set them back like 5 years? Like they're one huge asset, and they traded in for like Eric Jagielo and Rookie Davis because they were afraid of how long a suspension would be.
Yeah, that was.
And then see the Yankees flip him for like a sick package.
It's kind of a shame too because Cincinnati seems like a really good baseball town. I mean, they were the
first team. I don't know who they played, but they were the first team.
I mean, 5 years ago. You know, they were pushed. They were, you know, very close to being in the World Series. So,
remember like their first playoff game in like 20 years, and they got no hit. That was the best.
So they, you know,
who made the final out? Brandon Phillips, who was just traded.
He was to Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Yeah. So overall,
what are the Brewers? What are the Brewers odds?
Yeah, let's see. Brewers, I think. What are they? Yeah, Brewers are 250. Reds are 300-1.
Whites, what are the Rockies?
The Rockies are
sneaky sleeper pick right there.
50-1.
Sneaky sleeper pick.
50-1.
John Gray, Nolan Arenado. Mm-hmm. I like them. I like them a lot.
Padres are 200-1.
No, I don't. I do not like them.
Athletics 150-1.
I hate. They're the probably. I think they're the worst team in baseball.
Phillies 100-1. Diamondbacks and Braves 100-1.
Phillies, Clay Buchholz, baby. Give him the title now.
And yeah, those are your long odds right there.
Hmm.
And don't forget, Israel and China are 250-1 to win the World Baseball Classic.
Chinese Taipei.
Oh, excuse me.
We support a one China policy.
Yes. No, China's 250.
Oh, China's one policy. Or being like, you know what? You know, who cares? Yeah.
Chinese Taipei is 50-1. China. China is 250.
China, tappy.
So enjoy the WBC, folks. Enjoy spring training. A lot to look forward here. Hopefully that was a good look, a good 40-minute look around baseball at all the moves that have happened.
Do you want to talk about your big news?
So yeah, let's get into it. You know, to kind of close out the podcast here, I am getting married.
A week from like right this second.
Getting married. And
we'll be at your wedding at this time next week. Actually, no. Well, yeah, because it's West Coast time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we will be.
And I'll be out of the country for the honeymoon. Hopefully, I can get back into the country afterwards.
North Korea is beautiful this time of year. You're going to North Korea, the Sudan, and Yemen.
Hopefully, I can get back. And obviously, all jokes aside, you know, very serious news going on out there. So hopefully everyone out there is safe. Everyone is, you know.
They have a lot of listeners in those seven banned countries. It's not a ban. The media calls it a ban. That's why I call it a ban.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
The dishonest failing New York Times.
I mean, I guess I would say this about, you know, overall where we're headed, where things are going. It's, you know, obviously extremely troubling, sad, tragic for a lot of reasons. But yeah, I've definitely been encouraged by some of these protests. I've been encouraged by the fact that the media seems to be not backing down now, and is maybe
everyone's very woke right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk about your wedding though. Let's talk about the fun stuff.
So I think that just needs to be said. That I think people who listen to this podcast should know. You know, obviously, when we talk about baseball, it's very much a distraction. It sometimes seems very small and trivial in the grand scheme of things. But anyway, I think it's just fair to let people know, at least how I stand. I can't speak for you.
Lee is an executive producer on InfoWars. So.
Anyway, yes, the wedding is hopefully going to be the soiree of the year. And
not hopefully, it will be.
Hopefully, yeah. Well, we'll see.
Did you make a playlist for the DJ?
That's on the list to do actually after we finish this call here.
Do you have a first dance picked out? Do you want to give a teaser?
Yes, it's I'm gonna let you be
surprised. All My Life by Casey and JoJo.
I'm gonna let you be surprised.
Okay.
I think it'll be a fun time. Hopefully you all enjoy yourself, you and Mrs. Steve and all the other
guests. What if we just come back and be like, yeah, that wedding sucked. It was horrible.
More importantly, though, as I've learned, the best man speech and being part of the bridal party is more pressure packed. So how are you feeling there, big guy?
Oh, I've had both Mrs. Steve and my sister, the most critical human on the planet, read my speech, and both got the thumbs up. So
there you go.
I'm feeling good. I hate going to weddings and seeing, and if anyone's done this, I'm sorry, but they read the speech off their phone.
Yep.
I don't like that. Yep. I'm not a fan of that. So I'm trying to memorize it as much as possible, but I'll probably bring some paper up with me. I got some good, it's a little roasty and then a little heartfelt.
Oh, ooh, can't wait.
No. There is actually one part that I'm actually a little nervous about what your reaction's going to be, but I have assurances from three people that it's okay.
Okay. Now I'm nervous for you.
No, it's good.
any advice on marriage and anything? By the way, the married folks who are listeners, if you want to tweet it in, let us know. Pepper_aloud. I'll take any and all advice at this point.
I'm pretty used to wearing the ring now. I don't really notice it. That was the most getting used to.
Yep.
Just say yes to everything.
All right.
Great, never great go advice. To never go to bed angry. That's the key. Never go to bed angry.
Okay, I like that.
Maybe get a pet. Okay. You have pets in your building?
I think we can.
Yeah, get a pet.
Okay. Okay.
It's nice to have that third companion with you.
Mm-hmm.
You treat it like your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. Here's the thing about the wedding itself. It goes by super fast. And if it doesn't go by super fast, it means your wedding sucks. So, like, I think for mine especially, it was just like, it felt like it was like, oh, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And then cherish cocktail hour.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be going to cocktail hour?
Hopefully, yes.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. It's huge. Because you did all those tastings. You want to know what those taste like.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. That makes sense.
You had to say hi to everyone, too. That's the worst part.
Yeah, yeah.
You spend most of your time just talking to people instead of, like, getting down with it.
Yeah, what's, like, a good small talk line that I could use?
Oh, they'll talk to you. Okay. They're going to be like, oh, do you feel any different? That's what they're going to say. Especially, I'm thinking of your Boston family being like, listen up here, kid.
I can deal with that. As long as they're the one initiating it and I don't have to do that, I'll be okay.
As someone who's met members of your family, I wouldn't worry about them having nothing to say. So.
well said.
Your parents must be excited.
Yeah, I think so. I think everyone's getting excited. So.
Oof. Well, good luck.
Well, I'll see you out there, big guy, in a week. Looking forward to it. Thank you for... listening to episode 233 of the Prepper Lab podcast.
Sounds like a lot.
We'll probably not be back until probably the week of opening day, since I'm going to be out of the country, like I said.
I'm actually going to be out of the country the week of opening day. So
yeah, maybe the week before opening day, we'll actually, I think we'll both be in the States. We'll see. We'll see about me. Hopefully I'm back.
Yeah, you're going to be a good litmus test. I'll know if I should leave if you're not allowed back in. Then again, I'm a white guy. So yeah,
let's just say your complexion is a little fairer than mine.
Yeah. Like, we don't need to see your passport. Just come on in. Meanwhile, they're just like, get him.
We laugh because that's all you can do at this point. Well, thanks for listening. As always, if you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. Apologies if the sound's a little off on this one. I'm working off a new laptop right now and trying to get the audio
figured out.
Hopefully it works out. And as always, tweet in any thoughts, comments, questions at Pepper underscore allowed on Twitter. Steve, any final thoughts or words to the people here on Saturday?
I think we all wish Lee a happy marriage. Salute.
You know what? Trevor Bauer, we're not playing you out anymore, buddy.
Yeah, he's the worst. what's a good... Do any other players have any songs? Can we play the Hell Yeah, I Like Beer Red Sox song?
Sure, why not?
Is that copyright? Is that copyrighted?
If I can find it, that's what's going to be playing right now as we're talking, but all I know is Trevor Bauer, we don't wish you continued success, and yeah.
You've been demoted.
You've been demoted. Yeah.
You weirdo.
You're fired.
Go fly your drone and chop your thumb off.
You're fired, as somebody would say.
Oh. The Apprentice brain. What a disgrace.
So whatever music we find, please play us out. Enjoy, everyone out there. Be safe. Talk to you in a few weeks.